Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Happy New Year, New York Giants fans, and wow, what a way to start 2023 off with a bang. The New York Giants are now playoff bound for the first time since 2016. 38-10, the first victory for the Giants this season after 9 wins, 8 of them coming with single-digit, defeats. This one with
deficit,
a large...
wins.
Yeah, I meant defeats, but like we defeated the other team. So yeah, that would make
wins.
Sense with wins. But anyway, on the 9th victory of the season, the Giants win by a double-digit margin. My name is Josh. My friend and co-host, Alex, happy New Year to you. I know we were together to celebrate New Year's. And yes, the ball did drop, but no, we were not focused on that. The Georgia versus Ohio State game was much more important at that point. But anyway... Alex, happy new year. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Excited to start 2023 off with a bang. Hopefully every day of this year will be as good as today was for the Giants. Playoff bound. Feels good. It feels a lot longer than 6 years. It feels like it's been 30 years. But it was just a great day to be a Giants fan. And I'm just happy the Giants are back in the playoffs. And, ready to roll again. Giants putting up 38 points up against the Indianapolis Colts, who, to be fair, do not have a great offense for sure. I don't think anyone's going to, debate me on that. Have a pretty decent defense, and we tore them apart today on offense. And Daniel Jones, obviously was the main guy. Saquon Barkley didn't even get a touchdown, even though there was, 5 touchdowns in this game. He did not get one. And that is certainly surprising considering the way he carried this team on his back in the beginning weeks of the season. But Daniel Jones, man, I gotta say, I have an apology to make. I said Daniel Jones, I don't think he's got the it factor, as I like to call it. I don't think he's got it in him to carry a team on his back. I thought he was really more of a system quarterback, a guy who is going to be your game manager, but not in the way like a game manager like Tom Brady, who really is a game manager and just game changer. But in the fact that I thought he could just kind of, if he had a good team around him, he could be good, but otherwise he's going to struggle. Man, did this season change my mind about that. And I got to say, I was wrong. And I think he definitely deserves to come back. Ian Rapoport reported this morning, actually, that him and Saquon Barkley are most likely going to return on long-term deals for the right price, obviously. But hey, Daniel Jones, respect to him. He's proven me wrong. I think he's proven 98% of Giants fans wrong. There were definitely not a lot of believers ever, to be honest, in his career. and he's proved everyone wrong. I mean, you look at no disrespect to some of these guys who are really stepping up, obviously, as well, like Isaiah Hodgins, Richie James had a great game today. Darius Slayton didn't have a great game. But, you know, all these guys who aren't exactly tier one talents in terms of their positions in the NFL. And he's really putting these guys on their back. He's elevating them. They're not elevating him. He's elevating them. So, you know, respect to Daniel Jones. And it's just great to be back in the playoffs. And I'm excited to see who we play. And, you know, I think, to be honest, I don't think we might not be a first round exit if we get the right opponent. And I think, you know, we could talk about that more towards the end of the episode. But just a really, really great game. And I'm excited to see what comes up next.
And it's not even just, well, obviously it's the first time the Giants have made it to the playoffs or are going to the playoffs since 2016. It is the first time the Giants have won themselves in order to make it to the playoffs since 2011-2012 season when the New York Giants won their last Super Bowl with Eli Manning, Tom Coughlin, and the other guys on the team that were, you know, on that team at that point. I'm sure we could, like, go through the whole list. We don't have to do that right now because we're talking about the 2022-2023 New York Giants right now. But, Alex, I mean, you already did it. You already started, at least, the conversation. I was going to say early, this is probably going to be more of the Daniel Jones episode than it is going to be the Giants playoffs episode because in order for the Giants to make the playoffs, your quarterback has to be pretty damn good, and Daniel Jones showed today his true talent, not even just throwing the ball but also rushing it as well, so we're definitely going to get into that. Like you already have. And not even just that, but Wink Martindale's defensive system, the blitzes worked today. The defensive line was strong today. I mean, we could talk about a couple of plays involving Kayvon Thibodeau, involving Dexter Lawrence, involving Landon Collins, involving Xavier McKinney. I mean, we'll go down the list. This, you know, there are these episodes, these recap episodes that we've done this season where we've gone through the positives first on offense and defense, and then we go through the negatives. I honestly, right now, I don't have any negatives in mind that I really want to cover in this episode, which is crazy to say, but it is that type of game. It is that 38-10 type of performance that we don't see from this team basically ever. The New York Giants outscored the Indianapolis Colts in the second quarter by a score of 24-0. The Colts in the second quarter scored 0 points while the Giants put 24 up on the board before halftime. How insane is that? They went up 24-3 at, they went into the locker room at halftime up 24-3. The Colts were up 3-0, by the way, at the end of the first quarter. It was a low scoring matchup. You're like, okay, classic Giants game. We know how this goes. They'll win by a slight margin. That's exactly how Alex and I kind of predicted this going into the game. I think, like, your score prediction was maybe 27-21. Mine was, like, 24-20, something along those lines. Okay, it's going to be another classic Giants game. And the second quarter just absolutely changed everything. So I think that's where I want to go with now. And you mentioned Daniel Jones. You also mentioned Richie James. He got a touchdown. And in a just over 10-minute long drive, the Giants marched down in 11 plays for 71 yards. Or, sorry. That was when they scored with 10:38 left. It was about 7-minute drive, 11 plays, 71 yards, and capped it off with a Richie James touchdown after he had, I think, 2 to 3 catches to help get first downs on that drive as well.
Yeah, I mean, who knew the wide receiving core of Richie James, Isaiah Hodgins, and Darius Slayton could be so effective? And to be honest, I can kind of see why. If you think about those three guys, you got Slayton, who's kind of the deep speed guy, who's going to really, you know, test those, safeties and DBs going, towards the end zone. You've got Isaiah Hodgins, who's more of that contested catch, big body, powerful receiver. And then you got Richie James, who's more your playmaker slot type of player. And I think they actually really mesh well together. And it's really, really funny because you would never imagine that those group of guys could be such an effective receiving core. But, you know, it's not like Stephon Gilmore is some slouch. He's a top 10 corner in the league, you know, used to be probably top 5, but I think he's probably regressed a little bit in the past year or so, ever since he's joined Indianapolis. But, you can't take away from the fact that they have a good secondary. Yes, they have injuries, but these wide receivers, they were getting open time after time, and it was truly impressive. And then you see how, the running game, Matt Breida getting involved a lot more today. He was really effective. And then obviously Saquon was reasonably effective, not even his best game, but it was a pretty decent game from Saquon Barkley. But you know, you gotta give your hats off to the O-line as well, who were great in pass protection, I thought, and they were good in run blocking, and Daniel Jones didn't even, you know, give up a sack. So overall, the whole offense, was moving. It wasn't just Saquon Barkley. It wasn't just Daniel Jones. And they were able to move the ball, through a whole bunch of different facets, and it was really good work from Mike Kafka, who I think's gotten unfairly criticized considering what he's been working with this season. And I think finally we saw what this offense could be with some top-tier talent around Daniel Jones, where some of these guys who are not exactly top-tier talent but are playing at the level of top-tier talent, at least in the last couple of weeks.
Alex, I mean, you're completely right, and I continue with my, I mean, what you were kind of talking about, I continue with my second quarter kind of spiel here. The next one is the Giants get the ball. They made it 7-3 with that Richie James touchdown. They come down the field again. This time it's a 9-play, 64-yard drive, lasting about 5 minutes. Isaiah Hodgins, the other free agent wide receiver that the Giants decided to pick up during the season this year, scores the next touchdown. They make the Giants make it 14-3. And then I want to say it was the very next Colts drive after they got the kickoff. It only took a few plays, and then Landon Collins, the guy returning to New York after he was on the team for a few seasons a while ago, he then went to the Washington Commanders for a little bit before returning to the Giants again after, I believe, being a free agent. 52 yards, read the play the entire way. It was kind of like a little curl route, but he was absolutely on top of it, and once he started, no one was catching him. I think his speed capped off at about 19 miles an hour in that race to the end zone. Landon Collins makes it a 21-3 game, and then with the clock at zeros, Graham Gano nails a 36-yard field goal to send the Giants into the locker room at halftime up 24-3. And that was your second quarter for the New York Giants. Absolutely incredible. And Alex, I remember when you were talking about Darius Slayton again in the wide receivers, there's my one negative that really comes from this game, and that was that Darius Slayton fumble. You got to make sure to hold on to the ball, but the Giants actually made a stop, I believe, and forced a three and out just after that fumble with the Colts.
And then a missed field goal got the
Giants. Oh, yes, it was a missed field goal. It was a missed field goal. So it was because they got the fumble from Darius Slayton, and it was already in the, what would that be, the Giants side or the Colts side of the
field?
It was
like, it was the Giants, like, 25-ish.
But then the mixed field goal. So then the vibes are kind of back to being somewhat immaculate, right? So Chase McLaughlin misses that field goal left, and we're all happy again. But I wanted to mention that because I did remember when you were talking about him. That is the one negative, but really besides that, no other negatives besides just hold on to the ball, Darius Slayton, and we'll be okay. I guess we have to do stats now. Do we go to stats now?
I mean, sure. I wanted to talk a little bit about this defense. I mean, when I was looking, I know this play went viral nationally, actually. You know, I saw Adam Schefter, or not Adam Schefter. Maybe Adam Schefter did post. I don't know. But a lot
he
of
might have been talking about Matthew Berry, his hate about the Matthew Berry of NFL, maybe it's Sunday Night Football. He talked about, it was like a paragraph long of him saying how disrespectful it was for Kayvon Thibodeau to do this. That's what you're talking about, right?
No, I was not talking about that.
Oh, also went nationally.
That also went nationally. I was talking about the Dexter Lawrence sack on Quinnen Nelson. My Lord. You know, everyone's talking about, well, the Giants, they're going to have to pay Saquon Barkley. They're going to have to pay Daniel. They're going to have to pay Dexter Lawrence, man. That guy, obviously, they activated his fifth-year option, so he's under contract next year. But I think this year, you're going to have to look, before he goes even crazier next year, into extending him long-term, because my God, Quinnen Nelson, yes, he's not on great form this year, not playing as well as he has been in years past at that all-pro level, but he's still a Pro Bowler. He's still playing at a Pro Bowl level, and the fact that he was just eaten alive by Dexter Lawrence shows how good Dexter Lawrence is right now. The improvement that we've seen from him this season, more than Daniel Jones, I'd say. Bigger than Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, whoever you want to say, he has been the biggest improvement on this Giants team. His leap has been gigantic. Dexter Lawrence is a beast on the inside. Not only his presence in the run game, but his presence pass rushing from the interior. There's not a lot of guys. When I think about elite pass rushers from the interior, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, Hayward maybe. I don't think there's not that many names. DeForest Buckner, who we're coming up against, actually against the Colts, is a very good pass rusher as well. I forgot his name, no disrespect. I'm sure I'm missing others, but that's a very valuable position, and I think the Giants need to lock up that guy for the next few years because he is a beast and matched up, you know, partnered with Leonard Williams. I don't think Leonard Williams is as valuable as Dexter Lawrence is at this point in time, at this point in their careers. But those two, that combo, we know Leonard Williams is probably sticking around for a little bit while longer considering his restructure earlier in the season. But I'm just really, really happy with how this defensive line's shaping up. You mentioned Kayvon. I'll let you touch on that whole incident for a little bit. But Kayvon, Azeez, it's just all working out really nicely for that front four. And hopefully we have that front four all good and healthy for our playoff matchup.
Yeah, Dexter Lawrence, you mentioned it. He already set his career high in sacks this season. He extended that today by getting that one, like you were saying, literally just pushing Quentin Nelson into the backfield. Eventually, Quentin Nelson knocks down his own quarterback, Sam Ehlinger, and the sack is credited. I had credited and sack together. I was going a little too fast. The sack was credited, as it should be, to Dexter Lawrence, which I believe now sets his career high at 7.5 sacks on the year. I think I'm like 90% sure about that. So great job, once again, like you already touched on, by Dexter Lawrence. So I guess there was two plays that went national. I'm sure there was a lot of plays from this game that went nationally. You could talk about the Daniel Jones scrambles going into contact. Dexter Lawrence, absolutely turning Quentin Nelson into his son. And then you could talk about Kayvon Thibodeau with the snow angel. So let's go to that now. Kayvon Thibodeau is completely unblocked in the backfield, which I don't know. Again, I don't know how you make that mistake leaving that guy unblocked, but whatever, it is what it is. So he gets a free bull rush, basically, into Nick Foles, and he takes advantage of it. You just see the contact, its impact. It's, you know, a fist to a hand, like, boom, the crack, and Nick Foles goes down. And so does Kayvon Thibodeau, but not in the way that you would think. He goes to the ground, and he starts doing snow angels when it's 50 degrees in January at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Continues to do them even after Nick Foles seems to be in agonizingly terrible pain, and the medical staff rushes over. They come to look at Nick Foles while Kayvon Thibodeau is still on the ground. I swear he did snow angels for a good 10-15 seconds. It was a long time. And then CBS pans to Thibodeau when the medical staff is working on him. And I think they either came back from, I think they did it when they came back from commercial break. And they catch Kayvon Thibodeau putting his hands next to his head, kind of like a Stephen Curry celebration after he makes a three-pointer with like the sleeping, you know, like he's going to sleep. He took him to sleep. So listen, I think when he was doing the snow angels, I don't think he knew that Nick Foles was injured. That's what a lot of people were saying on Twitter. I completely agree. Like, how do you know you're doing your own celebration? When he went to the sideline and he did the sleeping thing, that might be taken a little bit too far. I have to assume he knows, seeing the medical staff out there, and he's saying he put the guy to sleep. Nick Foles eventually did not return in this game due to injury. And the backup Sam Ehlinger came in, or at that point, the third string Sam Ehlinger came in. So hope the best for Nick Foles. Hopefully he's doing okay. I don't know the whole thing with Thibodeau, but again, another beast on this Giants team who just keeps on improving since he's returned from, what was it, the MCL injury earlier this year. Just the past few weeks, you've been seeing why the Giants picked him at number 5 in the draft.
I mean, to be fair, I think, yeah, for sure he didn't know when he was doing the snow angels or whatever, because he was on the ground, he wasn't paying attention, he was in his own world. I'd like to think that he was just doing the sleep thing because he got a big play on third down, and it was like he put the offense to rest and was over, not like about Nick Foles, but who knows, whatever. It's football, man, it's, you know, not that big of a deal in terms of, you know, how people celebrate.
It's a tough physical contact sport, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I don't really have a comment about that. I don't want to like start talking about that when we're in all this happy mood about the playoffs and we have to dissect, you know, a Twitter video about whether Kayvon Thibodeau is a bad man or not.
So like, we can go to the stats then. I mean, yeah, let's go to the stats. We were going to do that earlier. So let's start on offense with the man himself, Daniel Jones. Again, unbelievable performance today. Just once again proving that he is that guy that can lead the New York Giants. And yes, throughout the season, he's not being asked, right? He's in this offense with Mike Kafka, who's coming from Kansas City, with Patrick Mahomes, who's a big, major thrower downfield. And the offense and the playbook is surrounded by Patrick Mahomes. You also have Brian Daboll, who's the head coach, who's coming from Buffalo, who, again, they have absolutely no run game in Buffalo. They haven't the last couple years. They traded for Stephon Diggs for a reason, because the playbook is surrounded by Josh Allen and passing the ball, not running it with, you know, whenever it was Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, who we actually played against today because he got traded to the Colts. But it was never about those running backs in Buffalo. It was about Josh Allen. However, both of those guys collide together that were in two offensive-heavy, passing, quarterback-heavy playbook systems. When Mike Kafka with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Brian Daboll with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, they come together and they develop a playbook around the running backs and mainly Saquon Barkley. So Daniel Jones this season hasn't really been asked to make those big plays throwing the ball, looking deep. It's kind of been checkdowns here and there. We want you to definitely run the ball yourself. But really, our game plan is just to have you just be there and kind of, like Alex, what you were saying, kind of run the game plan and run the game and do your thing without throwing the ball deep, without what a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL do nowadays. And we're going to kind of keep this around Saquon Barkley. Well, what Daniel Jones did today is he was able to run the ball, but also kind of show off with the arm without even passing deep, really. He was 19 for 24, which is super accurate. 177 yards passing, which is about 70 yards per completion, and two touchdowns throwing the ball. Those two, again, Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins. Rushing the ball, Daniel Jones led there with 11 carries for 91 yards, 8 yards per rush, and two touchdowns rushing the ball too. And both of them, I want to say, both touchdowns were on the side, right by the pylon. Heavy hits. Heavy hits to our quarterback, Daniel Jones, on both of them. And not even on those, but on the third down rushes as well, there was one or two that I can point out that Daniel Jones, he's not going down. He's not going for the slide. He is going for the final push. He is fighting hard for this team, and I think you could tell from the way he's running the ball. Daniel Jones, he wants to make the final hit. He wants to shove someone. He wants to give someone a stiff arm. Although it didn't work, I remember the Giants, they went for it on a whatever it was, like a third and two. And they didn't get it, I think, or a fourth down. I don't remember the exact
fourth
play.
The
fourth and two, and Daniel Jones literally stiff-armed someone trying to get there, and I actually thought he had a chance to get
through.
No,
it was third and two. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah, there were too many Colts there to get him down. But the guy, whether you like it or not, and you want your quarterback to stay healthy, I don't know what type of person you are, but Daniel Jones does not care what type of person you are. He's going to lower his shoulder when he feels like it. And fight for those extra yards. But anyway, that's Daniel Jones' stat line. Alex, if any more breaking down there before I go to the running backs?
No, continue. I mean, I agree with everything you said.
So you talked about Matt Breida getting some extra playing time today. Him and Tyrod Taylor were able to get out there, although Tyrod Taylor didn't even throw a pass. He was just there to basically stand there and hand the ball off for a few times. Don't worry. His pitches were pretty good, though. He was able to angle the ball well. But Matt Breida, yeah. And the Giants played so well today. That's how you know your team is really good, when the backup running back comes in and kind of the dying embers of the game and absolutely performs great. Matt Breida with 9 carries, 59 yards. He could definitely be a piece during the playoffs that we can use. Maybe get some two running back options out there. We have Saquon Barkley and Matt Breida to the left and the right of Daniel Jones in the pocket. Maybe do some RPO action. We'll have to see. But Matt Breida, again, kind of showing that he's still a great depth piece for the New York Giants. Saquon Barkley had 12 rushes for 58 yards today. Gary Braywell was also in there towards the end of the game, but didn't really do much at all. Moving on to the wide receivers, Richie James led the wide receivers with 7 catches for 76 yards, about 11 yards per catch, and 1 touchdown. Hodgins, 4 catches, 42 yards, about 10.5 yards per catch, 1 touchdown. And DB Daniel Bellinger with 3 catches for 42 yards. Bellinger came up with a clutch first down in this game. I mean, again, the Giants, I feel like everyone wants this guy to be involved in the playbook a lot, and he just really isn't. I feel like the Giants use their wide receivers a lot more than they do Daniel Bellinger. But again, three catches for 42 yards, nothing bad about that. So he's still getting involved, obviously not to the length of some top tight ends in the NFL like Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews or, oh my gosh, the guy in the Raiders that I can't think of his name right now.
Darren Waller.
Thank you. But he is still getting involved. He's getting some action there. He's catching the ball. It is what it is. And Alex, you can make your final comments if you want on the offense before I go to the defensive stats.
Yeah, I mean, overall, you look at this offense right now with the players that are on it. Obviously, Kenny Golladay is going to be gone. You know, not that he's ever a factor at this point. He did have his helmet on today, so, you know, maybe he was serious.
A funny point about that, too, is at these Giants home games, I don't know if anyone's been or not been, whatever it is, they switch every week, introducing the starters in the offense, defense, and special teams. Today, it was the offense's turn. They didn't even introduce Kenny Golladay as a starter. So,
well, yeah, he's not starting. He doesn't even play. So,
yeah.
yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm not going to crap on him at this point. I don't really care. But, you know, you look at this Giants receiving room. If you can bring back Isaiah Hodgins, obviously Bellinger's going to be here. He's still on his rookie contract. He's actually still a rookie. And then you look at, Richie James also, who I think might be worth keeping around. Darius Slayton, who I think is probably worth keeping around. I think really all you're missing from this Giants offense is really a true alpha number one wide receiver. And obviously, that's easier said than done. Like, that's like saying all you're missing is, you know, Davante Adams, or all you're missing is Justin Jefferson. But, you know, at this point, really, that's what it is, that you just need that guy that you can just throw it to. And Daniel Jones knows, like, he had on, you know, a snap of the finger, like, I can go to that guy. And I think that's really what the Giants are missing at this point. I think Hodgins, Richie James, Slayton, all, you know, decent wide receiver two, wide receiver three type players. Maybe you bring Sterling Shepard back, you know, after his ACL injury. You know, I think this offense is really, you know, looking good. You know, it's going in the right direction. Obviously, it looked great today. It hasn't always looked good this season, but I think there's certainly a lot to be optimistic for on the Giants offense, and we'll see how they do, you know, going forward in the playoffs. Like I said, I don't expect this team to, you know, run super deep into the playoffs because of the fact that they just don't have some of the things I just mentioned. But, you know, hey, these guys have been stepping up, and it's really impressive.
Oh, Alex, I completely agree with you. I think we cannot – these performances are great from these wide receivers. They're able to step up this season and really help out the team. That's wonderful. Just as a Giants fan, don't let this blindfold you from the true fact of the matter that the Giants still need a number one wide receiver. And whether that's in the NFL draft, whether that's trying free agency again, which last time we tried that, yes, Dave Gettleman was our GM. But remember, that free agent signing to get that number one wide receiver was Kenny Golladay. And look how that has worked out.
It's going to be a draft or trade. Draft or trade probably would be your only way.
You got to hope so. Whatever it is, you hope it works out. But let's go to the defensive stats. First person I'm going to start with was Jalen Smith, who didn't do a lot today positively. He did get like one or two tackles for loss. Next guy up is Xavier McKinney. But Jalen Smith had the tackles for the New York Giants. Xavier McKinney next up on the list. He had one pass deflection in this game. And I think the pass deflection was just the interception that could have been if Xavier McKinney didn't have a broken hand and, you know, the cast or the splint, whatever it was, on his hand. If he didn't have that on, I think he would actually be able to catch it. but it is what it is. So it counts as a pass deflection in our eyes and in the eyes of ESPN statistics. Dexter Lawrence, we already talked about, had the sack and tackle for loss by basically just pushing Quinn Williams into the backfield and getting his own quarterback to the ground. Kayvon with the bull rush type of sack, or just basically the there is no one blocking me, I'm going to hit this guy as hard as possible sack. He also had two tackles for loss. And the pass deflection too. Oh my God. Kayvon Thibodeau almost had one of the best interceptions. Read the play completely on a screen pass it was going to be by Sam Ellinger. He turns, Kayvon runs right into the pass to block it. And he tips it first in the air, and as it's falling, bobbles it once, and then it goes in front of him, and he's not able to grab it. But that would have been an absolutely amazing interception, and he would have been gone. There was no one behind, you know, in front of him. If he got his hands on that and was able to secure the ball, I think that would have been another pick six. The Giants would have had two pick sixes in this game. But besides that, again, Alex, I think we nailed it on the head in the preview that if there was a game where Adoree Jackson was going to come back, which he didn't, it would be this one, because the Colts didn't have a crazy, you know, wide receiving core. There was that deep catch early by Paris Campbell to give the Colts the opening 3 points of the game. They weren't able to even capitalize in the red zone, but they got a field goal from it. That was Xavier McKinney, I guess, coming back. That's like a welcome back from injury Xavier McKinney play, you know, where Paris Campbell catches it in front of him. That's the only play that I could think of by the wide receivers that was really good today. Besides that, the cornerbacks were able to limit the Giants cornerbacks were able to limit the Colts offense from working the ball upfield passing wise. And then, yeah, let's also talk about that, too. We have update news that completely destroyed me when it comes to what I said in the preview. I said in the preview that there is absolutely no way Xavier McKinney will come back in this game. It's exactly what happened. So Xavier McKinney, we're happy to have him back. Somehow, just miraculously, oh, Thursday he's going to practice. Oh, Sunday he's going to play. Well then, okay, welcome back. So it's great to have him back on the field, and we'll hope to see him in the playoffs. Adoree Jackson was out once again this week after being doubtful to play and was a limited participant in practice. I don't think he'll play next week, although now I don't even know if you should probably not trust me whatsoever. But I wouldn't imagine he plays next week, just because why have him come back when the game doesn't matter to us as Giants fans? So maybe we see Adoree Jackson in the wild card game. And that's what I had to say there. Besides that, I mean, I went through basically every, and Landon Collins, a pick six. We already talked about it, though. An absolute great read by Mr. Collins. So happy to have him back in the Giants. And great read, great speed, equals a touchdown and a pick six. Alex, anything else?
Yeah, I mean, this defense has played really well today. And hopefully, as we continue, through the rest of the season here into the playoffs, they can step up once again, obviously with Wink. You're kind of playing a risky game there, but it's definitely exciting to watch, at least, that I would say, with the defense. So hopefully it all works out also in the offseason as well, because the Giants are going to need some reinforcements in the secondary, especially at corner. And I think that'll be another key focus, as well as the linebacker position. I know I'm doing like a weird end-of-season summation, like this is the end of the season, but kind of when you're reflecting on the fact that the Giants made the playoffs, it's almost a reflection moment where you look back at where this team could use improvements. But obviously Giants are still in it in January, which is a very, very fun sign, very, very fun time for us Giants fans.
And I'm gonna end it with one more thing, and it's Saquon Barkley had an interview with Mike Garofalo after this game today, after the Giants clinched the playoff berth again for the first time since 2016. And he said, quote, this about Daniel Jones. He said, quote, "I told him I loved him, man. Every single day he comes into work, and it's about time he starts getting some damn respect for real." And that's Saquon Barkley talking about his friend, his quarterback, Daniel Jones. And both of those guys are heading to their first, would it be their first ever playoff game, right, for the both of them. So big deal in New York in the coming weeks. We'll have to see what happens. I think the Philadelphia Eagles dropped their game against the New Orleans Saints today. So for the Eagles, this is actually a huge game. I thought they were going to be benching their starters next week. They will not. The Philadelphia Eagles will most likely try to be going for this win to clinch the first round bye. And the Giants, I would assume, bench their starters because this game doesn't mean anything to them.
It could for seeding, though.
Yeah, it could for seeding, and I guess, Alex, you mentioned it earlier, who the Giants could play in the playoffs. So right now the highest percentage is playing the San Francisco 49ers, which is it's a very scary sight. It used to be the Minnesota Vikings. Once the Giants drop that game, or not.
Vikings are losing right now, so it could be the Vikings. Who knows? If Vikings are losing currently. I hope it's the Vikings, because I think the Vikings are the most beatable.
Are you kidding me? I think the Giants get steamrolled by the San Francisco 49ers, I'm going to be honest, if they play them.
Yeah.
If they play the Vikings, I could 100% see the team winning.
The Giants went toe-to-toe with the Vikings. I think they could go with the
Vikings. They were the better team against the Vikings. I think they were 100% the better team against the Vikings when they played them last week. They won on a game-winning field goal. We were without Adoree Jackson and Xavier McKinney. Who knows if McKinney, if he was in that secondary, how he would have played? Who knows Daniel Jones, the way he played today, if he played that last week, what would have happened? It's not like Daniel Jones even had a bad game last week, but I'm just saying he turned on the Jets today. And, yeah, we obviously hope for the Vikings, but it's going to be, I think it's a toss-up between those two, the 49ers and the Vikings. And we'll have to see when we preview this game against the Eagles on Friday how that's going to work out. I'm very interested. It's going to be an interesting preview because we're going to have to see, are the Giants going to play their starters, how that's going to go when they, you know, the media asked Brian Daboll throughout the week. Are the Eagles going to play their starters because they want a first-round bye? We'll have to wait and see. So that's really how it goes here, but... I did want to end on that Saquon Barkley quote because I think it's super cool how he's kind of acknowledging his quarterback, and both of those guys are friends, and they're going to the playoffs, baby. The New York Giants are going to the playoffs. Happy New Year, everyone. January 1st. What a way to start off 2023. A few ways to support our podcast, which, by the way, is now a playoff podcast. We can say that now. The Giant Take, a New York Giants playoff podcast for the first time in its history. Subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. You can also go to shippingstudios.com/giant take to check out other places to listen to it. If you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate that. Hit the subscribe button, drop the like, let us know in the comments what you thought. You can also leave a comment basically in the same way on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by just giving us that rating slash review. Social media platforms, the Giant Take Pod on Instagram, or Twitter and TikTok. Instagram and Facebook is the Giant Take Podcast. Alex on Twitter at @Norian23. I'm on Twitter at @JoshSolo29. All of that info is in the description slash the podcast notes. We appreciate all the support. Giants are playoff bound. Alex, close this one out.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. And we'll see you all next time to preview the playoff New York Giants against the Philadelphia Eagles. See you then. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.